Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning. You know, connections are all around us. All around us. We've got connections that make the lights bright. Connections that your phones are all on right now. So you can connect to Facebook if that's what you're on, or Instagram if that's what you're on, if you're texting someone, or if you're following with the YouVersion. You know, often I do projects in my backyard, and I have, an extension cord with some plugs, and I have my chop saw out or my bandsaw, sander, all of these things, and I'm plugging them off and on to try to use them to get to where I need to go and do what I need to do. And sometimes I get ahead of myself, and I get ready, and I measure something, and I get it there, and my glasses are on, and I click the chop saw, and then nothing. And I'm like, I forgot to, plug it in, so I unplug the sander, plug that back in. Sometimes I'm in the kitchen and I'm making lunch and I want to toast a bagel or cook something in the toaster oven. I put it in there, I start the little timer knob and I walk away, only to come back and all I hear is, but there's no toasting going on because the toaster oven wasn't plugged in. Right? The source for the toasting was not tapped into. Maybe you try to get online at your house. And something goes wrong with the internet and it goes down. And you're like, man, I know that the internet is out there somewhere. And I just need to connect to it and I just can't. Connection is vital. The power source is super vital. Right? We got to have power to have anything. But our connection to that power source is vital. You can have all the power in the world, but if you can't access the power, it does you no good. You can have all the tools in the world. Does you no good if you can't plug them in and use them. The Christian life is just like that. Christ is our source. He is our power. But if we are not connected to Him, we can't do anything. Nothing. Now we can do some worldly things, human things, physical, material, whatever, but when it comes to God's kingdom, when it comes to our life of faith, if we're not connected to Jesus, sorry, you got nothing. And that means that some of us may be getting something. Others of us may be spinning our wheels thinking that it's something that we're doing with God and it's on our own because we're really not connected to the Lord. We're looking at the final of Jesus' 7 I am statements this morning. And this morning we're going to look at what Jesus says, I am the true vine. We're going to be in John chapter 15, so please pull out your Bibles or your eyeballs, whatever they are. Pull it out, turn to John 15 so you know that what I'm talking about is real and I'm not just speaking off my own authority. If you wouldn't mind standing as we read together, we will be John 15 starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Please pray with me. Lord, this morning as we look into your word, may we hold it reverent. May we hold it authoritative. May we allow you to speak to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. It's a wonderful passage, one of my favorites in all of the Bible. We have Jesus with his disciples, his apostles, for this last dinner, this last supper time before he goes to the cross. He's been teaching them all kinds of things, telling them all kinds of things about the Father, about the Holy Spirit, about himself. And then he brings in this analogy. Talks about him as the true vine. The bottom line I want us to see here today, this morning, walk away with, we need to stay connected to Jesus. Because if we don't, we can't do anything. I want to repeat that. We need to stay connected to Jesus. Because if we don't, we can't do anything. And it might sound awkward, but this is spiritual things, right? This is the kingdom. This is the life of faith, the life that God has for us. Look at verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Jesus is the true vine. This is an analogy that would not have been unfamiliar to the Jews at this time. Historically, God has called Israel a vine, and it's in the Bible. You can read about it. In fact, in Psalm 80, verse 8, says this, you brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it, and Israel has been depicted of or symbolized as a vine, but not one that was necessarily fruitful. Not one that was continually fruitful, doing the will of God. And Jesus is telling them, I am the true vine. They would have at least recalled the word vine. They would have at least understood kind of what he is going at here. And Jesus does not use, you know, analogies like Bluetooth. They would have been like, huh? What? He didn't use toaster oven, extension cord. He uses this analogy, this symbolism of farming, of gardening. He tells them, I am the true vine. He wants fruit. So right away, he takes them to a mental picture of something that they would know, something that they would understand, and something that they may be able to recall. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. But what he tells them, I want us to see our first point, is that God wants fruit. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. We got to know that. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. The branches without fruit, God takes away. This is a clear, strong statement for those that are not bearing fruit, those who are not with the Lord. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. God, the Father, is the vine dresser. He says, my Father is the vine dresser. He takes that fruit away. And so we see not only what Jesus wants, which is the fruit, but also the consequences of not doing what Jesus wants. And that's being taken away from the vine. We all can have a mental picture of that, right? Like if you've ever had a lemon tree, a lime tree, a vine, any kind, and you realize, man, this branch that's there, and I've dealt with this before and said this, but I had a lime tree. Some of the most pretty branches had no fruit. They were super shiny and green, big old thorns, but they're just sucking energy. They got to go. And so you can mentally picture, wow, that branch is not doing anything. It's not part of anything except it's just taking from the vine. So those branches got to go. So Jesus is telling us that he wants fruit because those without fruit, he takes away. In Colossians 1, 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul writes this, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. pleasing to the Lord, producing fruit, bearing fruit. So we see that in part of God's will, obviously God wants fruit from the vine, which comes from the branches that are remaining in him. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So the ones that don't, simple. Gone. The ones that do bear fruit, what does he do? He prunes. How many have ever pruned anything in your life? What does pruning involve? Clipping, trimming, cleaning, cutting back. And so the branches that do produce fruit actually do get cut and trimmed a little bit. They get, the word is kind of cleaned in the sense of pruning, taking things back, all so that they will produce more fruit, which God wants. And I am not a plant whisperer, but I can't imagine any plant that likes that. Any plant that likes us to come with tweezers, scissors, snippets, and go, I want that gone. You got to take that back. Sometimes rose petals or rose bushes, they say you got to clip off all the little buds so that next season you get a lot of fruit. Sometimes they'll actually prune trees in a certain way so they grow a certain way, either the top so they grow out or in so they grow up. But it's all for more fruit. Can you imagine being a plant? Of course you can't. Say, why are you asking me that? But can you imagine being a plant and then going, how, what the heck? I'm bearing fruit. Well, not enough yet. Sometimes we're like, oh yeah, guess what? And my lime tree that I got from this church years ago, the very first season, I got one lime. And I was stoked for the lime. I wanted more, but man, that lime was awesome. Didn't last very long. And then the next season, just a few more, but it was like, okay, trim, I need more limes. One lime is not enough. If you had a grapevine and you're nurturing it and growing it and putting stuff in it, and all of a sudden you're like, it's time for the grapes this season, and you see a little growing, and you look, man, like, I have the raddest grape. You ain't going to get much out of it, but it is a grape, so it's producing, but there needs to be some trimming. Our lives are not much different. Sometimes we're producing some fruit, and God comes in and says, this might hurt a little bit. We need to trim some things back. We need to cut some things off of you so that you produce fruit. You are making fruit. Let me take that back. I am producing fruit in you. You are bearing fruit, but I need to trim some things off so that you are more fruitful. You're bearing more fruit. And some of us might even have experienced some of these. I doubt that it feels good, right? When God says, hey, we need to get rid of that. Now, I don't have to tell you what that is. You know what some of the that's are, right? If you had to write a list right now and you write, what are my that's? You probably would want to hide it, right? Whoop. But God tells us the branches that do produce fruit, he prunes so that it becomes more fruitful. So one, we should expect pruning, but we should also expect fruit. Hebrews 12:1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that hinders so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that hinders so we can run this race. You can picture this. Picture a marathon runner, right? Picture him like way back in the pack. Like, I just not do it. You're walking next to him like, hey, pal, what's going on here? He's like, I don't know. I'm just not fast right now. And you go, do you know there's like a 10-pound weight? Like, it's connected to your ankle. And you got these other weights connected to your back. Like, let me take those off of you so that you can continue running the race that you are in for the expected outcome that you want so that you can do this. But he's really not talking about races. He's talking about our life. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that hinders. So can you imagine the weights and sin that hinder us from bearing fruit? Those are the that's that we talked about. What are those in your life? I probably don't have to tell you. You can read Ephesians 5 and learn a bunch of them. You can read Colossians 3. You can read James. You can read a whole bunch of verses in the Bible and we'll learn, wow, I may not need actually, I probably shouldn't have these things in my life. It could be the things that you look at on your phone. The pictures that you pause a little longer, that the algorithms actually are noting, by the way, that you spend longer on these types of pictures. Another story for another time. It could be what you watch. It could be what you hope accidentally comes up that's not accident because you keep swiping to hope that something comes up. It could be what you listen to. It could be the music that's pumping into your ears and you think it's just music. Yeah, right. It's pumping in your head all the time. Maybe it's the movies you watch. Maybe it's the words that come out of your mouth and you think, oh, they know I'm a Christian. It's just a joke. Is it? It could be the actions, the activities that we're involved in might be weights and sins that hinder us from producing fruit. What does it look like? What are our that's? Especially if you think of my week, maybe it's like, wow, well I'm saved, right? And Jesus says in verse 3 here, you're already clean because of the word I've given you. Like, so we're already clean, we're already righteous in God's sight because of Jesus. We have Jesus' righteousness in us. But what is happening that's prohibiting us from producing fruit? You know, it's more than just being saved, right? I think God is showing us that he wants more fruit. He wants to prune us for more fruit. So it's not just being saved. In fact, it's actually more than being saved and being baptized. It's not just that. Because then we have a bunch of saved, baptized people that we don't even know anything about. And it's not just being saved and baptized and going to church Sundays or even at a Wednesday. Because now you're at church 3 hours a week. What about the other 165? What do those do for us? Are there weights and sins within that time that keep us from producing fruit or God producing fruit in us? Maybe God wants to trim some of those things out of us so that we produce fruit and glorify God. We'll move on. Verse 4 kind of goes us to this point. Jesus wants us to bear fruit again. Now he goes, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So what does it take? What does it take to be fruitful for God? Abide. I'll ask it again. What does it take to be fruitful for God? Abide. Abide means stay, remain, dwell, hang out with. Be with Jesus. Our next point, we must abide in Jesus. We must abide in Jesus. If you want that life in Christ. If this is not important to you, then by all means, we're on two different wavelengths. But if your life is in Christ and you're part of the vine, stay with Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Stay with him. Remain in him. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Now, this may be obvious to you. I'm assuming it is, because how many vines have you seen? Like if you go to the Home Depot or the nursery or whatever, and you see like, oh, look at all those vine branches on the ground producing their own fruit, right? I know, dumb thing to say, but do we assume that that happens in nature? Do we lop off lemon branches and lime branches and apple branches that'll throw them on the ground and expect them to still produce fruit? No. It's just like that in our lives. Abide in Jesus. That's where he produces the fruit in us. We can't do it on our own. You cannot be a solo Christian, not hanging out with Jesus, not having union with Christ, a connection with Jesus, and expect fruit. It does not happen. It's not my reality. It's not my truth. I'm just kind of actually reading God's word. Not always easy to grasp. Not always easy to like. But this is the way it is. Jesus is saying we must abide in him. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branch. Whoever abides in me and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit. God wants us to have abundance. He wants us to be fruitful. So sometimes when he's pruning us and it hurts and we're going through something, we're like, Lord, what are you doing? He wants abundance of fruit. He wants to bless us with fruit. I was at the nursery yesterday in Lakewood, and I was walking around just looking at the vines because I just wanted to just digging this, right? And looking at the blueberries, and they're all in little pots, right? They're not huge, but there's a few. But there was a couple grapevines that already had these clusters. And I was immediately like, oh, if I was going to buy one, that's the jam right there, right? It's not jam yet. Get it? So, like, that's the jam right there. That's the grapevine that I want. It's already got clusters. It's already bringing it. God wants us to be bountifully producing fruit, but that takes abiding in him. Now, verse 6 goes into a minute of kind of just this harsh reality, and he says, those that do not, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. It's a strong, bold, scary statement. Those that do not abide are thrown away and they wither. They've already been taken off, right? We already talked about that in verse 2, I believe it is. But they're thrown away and they wither, which kind of gives this sense of dying. And they're thrown into a fire and burned. That is finality. Right? You don't burn a branch and it attaches itself back in. It's gone. It's taken. And so there is this stark reality. And although it can be scary and seem harsh, at the same time, Jesus is saying, just abide in me. Abide in me, and he'll make the fruit. Stay with Jesus. When he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, just follow. Keep following. Now, obviously, that takes intention, right? It takes on-purposeness, the way that I would say it, because I don't use that word a lot. Intentional on-purposeness. It doesn't just happen. We don't just wake up and abide. Otherwise, Jesus would not need to warn us. Otherwise, we would not need a teaching that we should continue to abide. It would just be automatic. No, Jesus is saying, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. Stay with me. You cannot do anything apart from Jesus. Look at verse 9. Excuse me, I'm sorry, we're at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is where I want to pause and sit for a minute, because this can trip us up. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is not a name it and claim it verse, just so you know, in my opinion. This is not a ask whatever you want, anytime you want for you. This is not a anything I want, I deserve. Jesus is saying, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But if you look at the preceding words, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Which, if we just kind of take it backwards, If we're abiding in Jesus, we get what we ask for and what we wish if we're hanging out with Jesus. If we're abiding in him and his words are abiding in us, that means we're staying connected. Union with Christ, which means we're in his word. We're loving him. We're hanging out with him. We're staying with him. And most likely, our desires are right in line with his. The rub is when we think, I can ask for whatever I want and we're not abiding in Christ. Because then I want a Ferrari to live on an island all by myself and everybody hangs out with me and does whatever I want and I am the universe and everybody revolves around me. Not exactly what Jesus has planned. It's all about his will. In fact, Jesus gave us a prime example in the garden. Remember when he said, Lord, if there's any way to take this cup from me, right? The cross was just about to happen. He said, if there's any way, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. Jesus had this will, but it was subject to God the Father's will. It was submissive to God the Father's will. And so he has these desires, like we all have these desires, but he's saying, Lord, I want my will to be within yours. This human side of me feels this need, but Lord, what is it that you want? He wants us to abide. He wants us to have fruit. And when we're in that relationship with him, our asking will be more in line with his will. By this my Father is glorified. Such a beautiful verse. That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified. Now, check this out. Sometimes I hear people, what is God's will for my life? Whoop. Verse 8. Anyone ever says that to you, just go, oh, yeah, John 15, verse 8. A lot of other verses too, but you could just go, John 15, verse 8, right? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. God is glorified when we bear fruit. And how do we bear fruit? We abide. God is glorified when we abide. God is glorified when we produce fruit. And we prove to be his disciples. This is super rad, literally. Like, think about this. You can go to bed tonight and lay your head on your bed. You could lay on your bed, lay on your pillow. Lay your head on your pillow, and you could go, man, Lord, I am not perfect. I'm sorry for the sins I've done today. I confess. I ask for your forgiveness. I thank you for forgiving me. God is just, and he will forgive us. But Lord, I also know that I glorified you today. Because your word tells me that if I abide in you and I'm trying to obey, I read my Bible, I was praying, I think I followed your will, I was trying to love my neighbor, I forgave my coworker. Lord, I know that I glorified you some today too, Lord, and thank you for helping me glorify you. To be able to rest your head on your pillow thinking, I actually glorified the creator of the universe today. And basically all I did was hang out with him. And in that hanging out, I obeyed him, I understood his will, I prayed with him, I talked to him, I read his word, but the fruit just bloop, bloop. I mean, if it sounds like that, maybe it doesn't, but if it was like, wow, Brandon, the other day when you forgave me, I heard this bloop sound, what was that about? Like, it's fruit, right? Like, it's just coming out. What happens? Every time I hug my wife, it goes bloop, 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 whatever, like I'm loving, whatever, you get it, right? There's fruit, it's coming. God is producing fruit in us when we abide. This is very simple to understand, yet not so easy to continue, because we are human. At least I am. Y'all may be perfect. If it is, sweet. Bring me into the club somehow, but I have a hard time not sinning. I have a hard time letting those weights and sins that hinder me, pushing those off, because every day I wake up and they're there. It's like, what? It's like Groundhog Day. Wait a minute. I thought I denied that sin yesterday. Oh yeah, I got to do it again today. Go figure that Jesus said, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow me, which means every single day I got to say no. Well, yeah. Every single day there's all kinds of stuff you got to do. Wait till you're a parent. Oh my goodness, the stuff you got to do every day. But God helps us. God helps us. In fact, John 14 talks about the Holy Spirit, which God will give us, which is the helper. He doesn't expect us to do anything on our own. He helps us with his Holy Spirit. Wonderful verses. We can glorify God. Now what Jesus does is he brings in, it's crazy, he brings in love and commandments. And he shows us how love and commandments work with this abiding in fruit. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. How do you abide in someone's love? Well, good thing you asked, because he says it right here. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If we abide in Christ's love, we'll keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments, we're abiding in his love. There's all these, like, Dr. Seuss-y things back and forth. I think he's showing us all these different directions. He's showing us that it's all working together. If you abide, you get fruit. If you have fruit, you're abiding. If you do my commands, you love me. If you love me, you do my commands. It's all kind of one thing. You get it? It's all together. That all has to do with staying connected to Jesus. Most of us won't stay connected to Jesus unless we love him. Do you love Jesus? You don't have to answer that right now, but if you want to say, yeah, whatever. But do you love Jesus? Do you follow his word? Do you look and go, okay, this is what my Savior said. This is what I'm going to walk with. Trusting that he will do his part. Notice that he doesn't say, hey, abide in me, and you make the grape. You figure out how to fashion the little skin, and then the little veins, and the little juice. Now, obviously, he's not talking about grapes. But he produces it in us. We will have fruit. We will bear fruit. God produces it. It's spiritual. We can't do it on our own. 1 John 3:24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given. So commandments and abiding, again, kind of together. Obedience is key. Obedience proves our love. In fact, if your Bibles are open or you have their iPhone and you're in John 15, if you just look up a little bit, John 14, verse 15, 21, 23, and 24. I'm going to read them to you right now. Check this out. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay. 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Okay. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. Pretty rad. 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my word. This is simple math. A plus B equals C. C plus B equals A. I'm not a mathematician. I do skateboards and Jesus. But you get it, right? A plus B equals C. B plus A equals C. C equals A plus B. Square root. It all equals loving Jesus, staying connected to him, abiding in the Savior. And he does it. But it's hard, right? You wake up and your throat hurts. You wake up, you got to brush your teeth before you kiss your wife or she'll slap you. Like, whatever, like, you wake up and everything is changing and I got to do all these things and it's all about me and I got to get to work and the guy cut me off. He cuts me off every day. I think he has something against me. Now I'm telling him he's number one with a different finger. No, stop that. Like, it's hard. Life just pulls this junk out of us. We got to set it aside. But obedience, and Jesus gave us the prime example of his obedience and love to the Father in going to the cross. And in the garden, we see, Lord, Father, if there's any other way, but not my will, yours be done. And he's obedient to the Father. He loves the Father. And one of the most amazing parts, check this out. And Jesus, God says this, greater love has no one than this. This is verse 13. That someone lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus modeled the greatest love ever. So he's not saying, hey, go do it on your own, figure it out. He showed us. He displayed it. As the Father has loved me, back to verse 9 for a second, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Let that wrap around you for a minute. Let that hug you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. As much as God the Father loves Christ, he loves us. You can't find more love anywhere. It doesn't exist. And that's how much God loves you. Do we abide in Jesus? Do we walk with Jesus? Does our life mimic obedience, love, staying with, fruitfulness? Verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And that's repeating in a sense, John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Which goes right back to Jesus saying, you know, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So as we come to the end of this, the band can come on up. You know, note the mixture of this. Jesus is our true vine. We are the branches. The vine is grown for a reason, for fruit. God has us connected to him for a reason, for fruit. We got to stay with Jesus so that he produces the fruit. It may take pruning. Maybe the pruning's happening now. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it's coming. But it's all for more fruit. And Jesus says, he tells us this, that his joy may be in us and our joy may be full. So sometimes we think, wow, this is a tough sermon. Maybe it is. But Jesus tells us this so that his joy may be in us and our joy may be full. We can glorify God. I know what his will is. His will is that I stick with him. His will might be that I get rid of X, Y, Z, P, and a little bit of L. You got to get rid of J, an S, whatever it is, let God guide you in this, but I doubt any of it will happen unless you stay connected. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us in truth. Thank you that you are the vine that gives us what we need. You give us grace, mercy, salvation, forgiveness abundantly because we need it every day, all day. And you are the one who produces fruit in us, but you do give us a part to play. And that is abiding. That is obedience. That is loving you. So Lord, this morning, may we draw near to you so that you do the work in us. You transform us. You prune us. You provide the fruit for us. And help us to have joy knowing that we can glorify you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name.